What matters now, as always, is not what we can't do. It's what we can and must do. Eleanor Roosevelt. Well, hey there. Welcome to the Retirement Answer Man show. My name is Roger Whitney. I'm your host. And this is the show dedicated to helping you not just survive retirement, but to have the confidence because you're doing the work to lean in and rock retirement. I'm so glad you're here with me today for this series on going from 2 to 1, navigating widowhood. If you are married, one of you is going to go through this, or you're likely going to have to be of assistance to somebody that does go through this. So this is a good topic to deal with. Today, we're going to talk about triage. What are some basic things that you can do to start to navigate this and resources to assist you? So to help us with some basic triage for someone that is recently widowed, is Chris, I don't even have your last name in front of you. I know it's Bendon. Did I say that right?
It's close. Bentley. Just Bentley. Remember fancy cars and you'll never forget.
Yeah, so. I just didn't have it in front of me. And you founded Wings for Widows. So tell me a little bit about you and why this nonprofit came into existence.
I'm happy to. And thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, Roger. Wings for Widows was born out of really working with a client. I had a colleague back in 2017, same age, friends at Ameriprise Financial, where we were both working. And suddenly, he was gone. He died of a heart attack at home after returning with a car full of groceries from Costco. And his wife found him at the front door struggling. And by the time she got around to inside the house to let him in, he had expired. And so I, by fortune or divine intervention, inherited his family after his death. We had a sunset agreement, and that was fortuitous for him, but I inherited his family as a result of that and began working with his widow, Leanne. And we worked, this occurred in February, so we worked all year. And sometime in early December, late November, Leanne was in my office just reflecting on the year and talking about her grief and the fact that her grief was somewhat mitigated while she was still grieving and part of a grief share group and working through all of that. It was somewhat mitigated by the fact that she felt comfortable with her financial future. Her spouse, right, was a financial advisor, so I would hope that that would be true. But she shared with me that other, she called them her grief share buddies, other women in her grief share group were still struggling. And many of them, she'd learned, had spouses who had died years ago. And here they were today still struggling with these financial questions. And she asked me if I wouldn't come and talk to these folks. Maybe I could help them. And I agreed. I said, sure, anything I can do, I'd be happy to see what I could do for them. So a few weeks later, we met over brunch and spent 3 or 4 hours together and a lot of tears and laughter and hearing each of their stories. And some of them had financial advisors, which I thought was interesting, and yet were still struggling. And this is 2 years after the loss of their spouse. So I was very interested in sort of what I was hearing and seeing, and of course, promised this group of ladies that I would find them some respite. I'd find them a resource that could help them. Well, little did I know, there were no resources after several weeks of plowing the internet and exploring organizations. There were no pro bono outfits out there that could help widows and widowers. I was shocked. Why hadn't this been done? And I was at a point in my life where I was kind of looking for my calling, right? What's my purpose? And helping folks in the financial services industry was fine, but was there something else? And I was sort of exploring that, you know, the spiritual side of me over the last few years. And suddenly I was presented with this opportunity. Well, you can do something, right? You can do more than what you're doing. This doesn't exist. How can you help widows and widowers who do not have a trusted place to go? That was really the catalyst, was Leanne and the loss of her spouse. And I filed for 501c3 a couple of weeks later. By now, it was January of 2018, and I've never looked back. And Wings for Widows was born, and it's a very different organization today than not so much from what I originally envisioned, but how we were going about doing business, which was all one-on-one coaching in person. Of course, COVID had a big impact on that. And so we're a little bit different today, but our mission has not changed.
So Wings for Widows is a nonprofit, and you Correct. Are now retired.
Correct.
Except that you run the nonprofit.
Right. I was retired for one day. Right. People want to treat me as though I retired, but I tell them, no, I still work 10 hours a day as a CEO of a nonprofit.
And what is the purpose of Wings for Widows?
It is to come alongside widows and widowers in grief and help them navigate financial trauma. I guess it's probably the easiest way to say it. And it's different for everyone. There are no two situations that are the same, which makes it really exciting, the diversity from a coaching point of view. But the common denominator, of course, is great loss, struggle, and having to address so many administrative issues, right? Legal, financial, and all the other practical matters of loss while they're trying to grieve. And that's the real conundrum, right? Being able to do both. And so what we try to do, right, is come alongside early, help them restore some confidence as they regain some control over their financial life, and then really sort of help them reach some level of financial stability and then kind of set them on their way. So we really are the emergency room for financial trauma. We're triage. This is not a long-term relationship. This is get in there and do everything that we can. It's comprehensive, but it's all compressed, our coaching. Again, that's just one of our programs, but that's our core value.
Because there are plenty of resources for, say there are, but there are a lot of resources for grieving. It's yes. How do I manage this project of, one, closing out someone's financial life and feeling secure about my financial life going forward?
Exactly. It is an iterative process, and we try to do both, right? It's, what's your current situation? It's really the very first question we address. Where are you right now? What has changed?
Financially speaking.
Financially speaking, right? What has changed? And almost everything has changed. And so we work through that. And then how do we ensure that you're safe going forward? What are the things that you need to do to ensure your safety and your family's security going forward? So it really is a two-step process.
And you're not doing this for them. It's coaching them through doing it for themselves.
That's a great point. And it's important to remember that we could do the work for them, but that would be undermining, empowering our clients to do it themselves so that they build that confidence, so that they know when we're done with our coaching engagement that they can go on and do it themselves. It's not that they're not going to have questions along the way. They do and they will. But they're in a new place when they're done with us. They're in this place of some peace, some calm, some at least understanding. Many occasions, unless they were doing the personal finance for the family before the loss, they are lost. They're really in a bad place. And so it is great to see, and that's where the reward comes from with Wings for Widows, is seeing where they are when we're done. And we're just talking 4, 6, 8 weeks with somebody and the impact that we can have in such a short time. Again, the work's not over. There's far more for them to do, but at least they know what to do and how to go about getting that done.
I think a triage is a good word in stabilizing the patient so they can begin to heal.
It's a great analogy. It really does work for us. Yes.
And then so there's shorter term engagements from a coaching standpoint. Is it generally the non-financial manager spouse that reaches out? Is there a general? I don't know.
About 10% of those who reach out actually have financial advisors. So we do sort of bifurcate our services. Some of our grants want us to work with folks who do not have financial advisors. And so that's why we treat them a little bit differently from a bookkeeping standpoint. But at the end of the day, they need exactly the same help. They have exactly the same questions, whether they have a financial advisor or not. But about 10% of those that we get do not have a trusted source. And when you think about where somebody's supposed to go for help, it's an interesting question. You could read about it, right? You can Google lists all day long. You've probably seen those lists, Roger. So you can Google the list. Few lists tell you how to go about and do the things that the list tell you that you need to do. And of course, not every list is complete and not every list is appropriate, right? All the items, we customize our services. These lists are not customized. They're general guidelines for folks who have lost somebody. And it's a fine place to start, but it doesn't tell them what they need to do and the best way to go about getting those things done for their particular case. And again, as I said earlier, no two cases are the same. But other than that, I was going to mention the books. I think I've read them all, and there's some very good books out there, but they're for practitioners. It looks like they were written the audience for the widowed persons. They're complicated. There's a lot there. These are 300-page books, and I have yet to find a client who's read a book before they've come to us. They're just not in the right headspace to go to their local library and pull a book or off Amazon or wherever you get books these days and read them to work their way through all of the financial puzzles that they have to wrestle with.
And you hit on a good point when you were talking about Leanne's story and the group that you sat with is there are some that are financial literacy is high and they're very project oriented in nature. So it gives them agency to take a hold of dealing with this situation. But it sounds like with the people that you've experienced, but there's also a lot of people that are not financially literate to manage this. It's not that they can't do it from a capability standpoint. They're not financially literate and they don't lend themselves to grieving by taking on the project. They deal with it very differently. And I would think that subset's even more, one, at risk for financial abuse, but two, more apt to not address it in an organized way, which could exacerbate perhaps not that great a financial situation.
Great points. I would address that in a couple of ways. First, and there's data out there to support this, some research, but about 70% of US adults do not have a financial advisor. So where are they financially? They're all over the map. Some do it very well. They grew up in a household that taught them how to manage their finances, and they've got great savings. They've got IRAs. They've got Roths. They've got 401ks. They're in a different place than most of the clients that we work with. But overall, right, if you think about 1 million widows and widowers created every year in the US, that's 700,000 do not have a trusted resource to go to. Even if they are financially savvy or they're managing their own finances, how much experience they have with death and losing a spouse? I mean, it's rare to find a widow or widower that's been through it more than once. And they exist.
And the puzzle, I think, Chris, and tell me if I'm wrong, is of those 100,000 widows and widowers, the vast majority don't have, say, financial advisors or financial planners. The vast majority of them don't have the assets to interest most financial advisors or financial planners, so they're left adrift.
Exactly my second point. Age and assets matter. They're in very different places, both financially and in headspace, we have found based on age and assets, right? They may not have a clue, but if they have the assets, they're going to be okay. And it's a pleasure working with those folks because it feels more like a financial planning, right? Typical financial planning client. But you're right. So many in this country do not have the assets. And so it becomes problematic right out of the gate. It was already living paycheck to paycheck. And then when that paycheck is gone, it's a crisis. It's a crisis. And it's a very different type of individual that you're working with and struggling with, right, to get her through this process or him through this process. But the other thing that we found with age is that the younger, even with children, extremely aggressive. They want to get this done. They want to get answers. They want to figure this out. They want to get life back to normal, mainly because they have children they have to care for. They want answers and they want this done in a week, not 6 weeks or 8 weeks. So that's interesting because we have their full attention. On the opposite end of the spectrum, someone who's retired, 70s or 80s, very timid, very tentative, old school, probably don't have, maybe a little bit weary of who to trust. And so on that end of the spectrum, it's a little different conversation. It's fewer come to us, probably because they're not sure if they can trust anybody, let alone someone who wants to know all about their financial assets and their financial life so that we can't help them. Our biggest volume of clients are middle age. The average age of a widowed person in the US today is around 58, 59 years old. And that's our age group of our biggest clients. So age does matter. Assets matter. At the end of the day, unless you've been through this before, you're going to have the same questions. It's just that we customize our coaching. It's a little different coaching experience based on age and based on assets.
So we talk about clients and coaching. What do the services cost?
Well, that's the good news. They cost nothing. Everything's pro bono. We don't offer any services that cost our clients a dime. And that's a hurdle for some. Well, it's too good to be true, right? There's no value if it's free. Some of those myths come into play, but we're a 501c3. We raise our funds in other ways. And again, I would say that at least half of our clients are in financial crisis. They can't afford to pay for a financial advisor or estate planning attorney. And they all usually need an estate planning attorney at some point. We're certainly not going to charge them. Right? We'd rather that they spend the few dollars they might have on professionals to save their money and use it for that. So our services are absolutely free. Our classes are free, education-wise, and coaching is free.
And so who are the coaches?
We are so proud to be partnering with the Foundation for Financial Planning, which is a 501c3 as well. Think of it as an offshoot of the CFP board, Certified Financial Planning Association. They are they're closely affiliated. They're not exactly affiliated, but their Foundation for Financial Planning, their sole purpose is to provide financial planning to those who do not have access to financial planning. So they were a perfect partner for us and for other 501c3 organizations that provide financial planning for whatever reason to those without access. But they were a perfect partner for us because they provide a portal for certified financial planners to find volunteer gigs. And we are one of today 17 listed. And so we see one or two a week who are looking, renewing licenses, saying, hey, I'm at a place in my practice. I've been doing this for a number of years. I'd like to give something back to the community. Well, the CFP board would love to see that. They value the volunteer work that we can do for those who do not have access, who do not have the budget for a financial planner, no services that come with that. And so they're shuttled in the direction of the Foundation for Financial Planning. They can look at the menu of nonprofits that are out there, and those where we resonate, they come to trickle our way. And then we have the opportunity to talk to them and tell them about our organization and our mission. And if they're excited about what we're doing, then we put them through a training program orientation. And it's a couple of days of training. And then we provide them, we equip them with all the tools they need. They do not use their fancy software. It's not required for what we do. And we drive a very consistent experience both for our coaches and for our clients because we provide all of those tools. And that's where they come from. And we're very excited that they're all certified financial planners, all experienced, many of them widows or widowers that see this as a great opportunity to work. They've been down that road and now they get a chance to work with someone that's on that path. And so it's a win-win. It's a win for us. It's a win for the CFP board and for those organizations. And it's, of course, a win for our clients.
So what's one thing that you would say to someone who is widowed or is maybe facing it or trying to plan for this? What's one thing they need to know?
Wow, that's two really big questions. Those are great questions. And we refer to them now as widowed persons because of the gender thing, right? Widows, widowers. It's just easier to say widowed persons. We do serve both. Not all organizations do, but we do. So planning, right? Pre-planning, that's a whole nother topic. We could spend a whole nother podcast on it. Maybe we should someday. But I think that's the biggest thing to remember after a loss is that they'll hear in grief counseling and they hear with us is that you're not alone. There's a huge community out there that wants to help. And most are willing to help without a price tag. And it's getting to know where those resources are. And sometimes it's tough to navigate. We're expanding our resources page to try to make all those resources more accessible and just make folks more aware about them. But there's a huge community out there that wants to serve widowed persons in need. I call it the widow crisis because so many things happen to widowed persons at a time of loss that it's so confusing and confounding and really paralyzing. You don't know where to start. And so rather than try to navigate the internet or read a 300-page book, it's reach out to an organization that you can trust. And we're one of them. And there are others. But you're not alone. And you can't do it alone. And you shouldn't do it alone. And at least surround yourself with family and friends that you trust and hopefully reach out to organizations like Wings for Widows that will come alongside you and help you along with those decisions and some of that advice and encouragement and treat the crisis, again, as experts in triage. So that's what we do.
We'll have links to wingswithwidows.org in our Six Shots Saturday. Chris, I'm proud of you, man. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure, Roger. I appreciate it. I hope to talk to you some more in the future. Be great.